Talking with TD. Talking with TD. Touchdown, Tennessee! The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. I'm extra excited because this show today is the start of the draft series for 2025. We're going to get things kicked off on the absolute right note. One of the guys that has been one of my favorite receivers to watch is Dante Thornton out of Tennessee. We got him coming on. And then we also have Eugene Asante, inside linebacker out of Auburn. Folks, these are two combine standouts, so we'll get into those guys. But want to kick things off this show with a little Run TMC with Chris Sanders. Let me get that music, Parker.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Bring those strings. All right, as the lights dim and the music fades, where are we going? Do, 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 do. And now, coming to you live, your Chicago Bulls. Fresh out of high school. Number 33. Nah, we're not going to do that today. Still starting for your Chicago Bulls. Out of Duke University. Number 9. Luol. Dang!
And now, Odie but Goodie, star for the Boston Celtics, Robert Parrish.
The Chief!
Hey, first of all, how you going to be that tall with them little bitty shorts on, man? That's how you look when you play, you know, in Compton.
Say it again?
That's how your gear was when you was playing in Compton.
What gear? What you talking about, Willis?
Come on, man. You know you had the little shorts. You had the tank top tucked in, looking like Al Jarreau playing basketball. Man, that was you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, that's how you got to do it, man. That was the fashion back then.
That shoe, man. But, hey, even though Robert Parrish looked great, that dude could ball, man. You think he's one of the greatest players of all time?
You know, I forgot he played for the Bulls. I wouldn't say one of the greatest players, but he was a solid center on one of the best teams. But I forgot he played for the Bulls, too.
He played for the Bulls?
Yeah, I was watching
Never knew that.
And it was when MJ was there, too. And they showed Patrick Ewing dunked on him, and he had a Bulls uniform. I was like, dang, go on. They spare nobody,
you know,
man.
You know it's bad when we say dang, go.
It's funny because one of my receiver coaches, my second-to-last receiver, I had three of them in school. But my second to the last one, Daryl Mason, rest in peace.
Ooh.
He's from Arkansas, but he always, like, he made us sound like we were Southerners because, like, if you curse, you got in trouble. So I picked on Dadgummit, darn, and frippin' and all that stuff. And so sometimes I talk, and people think I'm like, you know, from the tobacco road or something, man. But, hey, that's besides the point.
That's cool, man. So what's up, man? This football stuff is getting crazy, ain't it?
Yeah, no, it is getting crazy, man. Almost as crazy as me getting close to calling you Eddie Curry in the intro, but I said I'll spare you. It is getting crazy, though. As you see free agency and you see all this. Rondale Moore, the former Purdue wide receiver, he was a supreme playmaker, but this guy, actually, he blew up against Ohio State, set the conference record his sophomore year. But he was in for a visit with the Titans. As you look, you know, would you, if you're the Titans, Would you dabble in the free agency receiver market at all?
I mean, there's nothing really there. And when I say nothing's really there, I'm kind of being respectful when I say that. But look at the people that are available in the free market-wise, and something could have changed in the last couple of days. But you got Brandon Cook, you got Amari Cooper, you got Noah Brown. I mean, what else is there that can really, really help this team? Amari Cooper is a great player, played great at Dallas, played great with the Cleveland Browns. But you know he's lost his step. He's getting older in age. You got to get somebody coming here with some speed, a guy that's going to take the top off the defense. And when I say not just take the top off the defense, that can take a five-yard hitch and make an explosive play downfield. And if you look at that and you look at the draft, I would lean more to the draft because there's some guys we're going to talk about that have that explosive speed that we're talking about. But if you look at the free agents, right now, since every team is taking them, I think you need to back away from a little bit and kind of maybe dabble in the draft.
No, I agree, and I'm glad you said that. So one of the guys – so we got Dante Thornton coming on later, the Tennessee receiver. And, I mean, look, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. 25 yards a catch. He only had 26 catches, but, I mean, the dude put up yards. What are your thoughts on him or a receiver like him, how he would fit into this offense?
You know, so funny, and can I just set up the whole story is he reminds me of myself. And the reason why I said reminds me of myself is I didn't have the numbers my first year. I didn't have my numbers the second year. I didn't have my numbers the third year. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about Thornton. The first year, 2021, 9 catches for 175. 2022, 17 catches for 366. 2023, 13 for 224. 2024, listen to this, 26 for 661, averaging 25 yards a catch. That's kind of how my career was. This is the crazy story. I didn't have a touchdown until my senior year. So I didn't have the numbers. And the reason why I'm saying Thornton reminds me of myself is you're kind of forgotten in the rush because you got so many receivers coming out. And then that year I had a lot of receivers coming out like Joey Galloway, you know, Freeman, J.J. Stokes, Frank Sanders, Westbrook. So it feels like I was lost in the shuffle. But when you show up, it's your individual workouts, and you run a 4-2-1. Yeah, all eyes get big. So when Thornton runs, and he runs a full, when he runs that 40, he runs a 4-2 or 4-3, whatever he runs, he's going to open some eyes. He may not have the numbers, but that's the kind of guy that may be lost in the shuffle, has a lot of talent, but I guarantee you there's a lot of teams that are eyeing that kid because of his speed.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned lost in the shuffle. And so what had happened, just a lot of conversations that I had, you know, they saw him run this 4-3, and I even did it myself. Because I remember, like, I liked him coming. You know, naturally here, you're going to see Tennessee football, right? And I remember, dang, who is this big dude running away from everybody like this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I remember that, and like, I got to remember this dude. Hey, he's good. But you see the combine, he runs that 4-3, and then you take it and you say, okay, let me go back, like, did this really show up? And then you get the refresher and you look and you're like, damn, he caught that slant and like he really did just pull away from everybody. Hey, he ran right by that guy. When you see a receiver like that, you know what I mean? And that's the beauty of the combine is it establishes those checks and balances. Because there were a few other guys, you know, that tested really well, but you go back and you watch and like, I don't care what he tested. He doesn't play like that. You know what I mean? But he is a guy that does.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you said that because there's a lot of guys that run a fast 40 but don't play fast on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that are running 4-3, running 4-2, but then they're coming off the ball at the line of scrimmage and they're going out at 4-6. Let's teach the fans real kind of what we're talking about. Look at Jerry Rice. Everybody talked about him not running a 4-3 or 4-4 or coming out running a 4-6 or 4-7, but he played 4-5.
Yeah.
He didn't run a 40 at 4-5 and then play 5-1. So that's what a lot of receivers do. They run the 4-3, they run a 4-2, but then they play 4-6 or 4-7. So there's no scare in their route running. There's no scare in them taking the top off the defense because even though you test it at a 4-3, you're running a 4-6, and that doesn't put a defensive coordinator in disarray.
When you look at a guy like Thornton, right, and this is someone like, you know, in Tennessee, we know what it is, right? Three or four routes they ask you to run for the most part. Right. So obviously the route tree, quote unquote, is limited. When you get a guy like that, like how do you approach transitioning him to the league as far as what he's going to be asked to do in the NFL?
Yeah, but and as a wide receiver coach, is you got to make sure you teach these kids that they got to have a game plan, and there's three phases. The first phase is getting off the line, at the line of scrimmage, getting off the press if you get pressed. Number two is the acceleration phase. Number three is what you do at the top of the route. So what we need to do is say to Thornton, okay, we know you fast. We know you can run. We know you average 26.2 yards a catch, but now you have to be a route runner. Now you got to create separation. So what I would do is I would take them step by step. Okay, the first step is let's figure out a plan to understand how to get the guy off the spot. And then, you know, the second phase of it is the acceleration. We already know you fast. And then the third phase is the top of the route. Lie with your eyes. We talk about that all the time. You know, burst off the cut, beat me back to the sidelines, on your curl up, coming back to the ball. All those things that we talk about. So now let's take your speed and let's incorporate it with some technique and let's go tear the league up. That's kind of how I would handle that kid coming in.
Yeah, and I mean, when you're that big and that fast, you can, as you always say, base it all off the nine, man, because that's the first thing. I mean, look at it, though. Like, think of yourself as a corner. Like, you are on the left or right side. You're sitting there on the island, and that monster breaks the huddle and runs over to you. Like, you're like, all right, he got a plan, but, man, I need one too. And my first plan is going to be kind of like, hey, I got to bail out because this joker's running a 4-3. And not only – and this is the thing that killed, because if you go back and you watch his 40, in the first 10 to 15 yards, he hits top speed.
Oh, my God.
Normally, it's the shorter guys who are doing that. But now you got this monster just coming off the line, top speed on you. And then it's like, what are you going to do? So it's a challenge to a DB.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And the thing about it is, if you look at a DB, you got to put your mind of a defensive back. The one thing that a defensive back hates is to get beat deep. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a big, fast wide receiver, you said something so profound. I'm glad that you said it's base it off the nine. If you look at Megatron, that came out of Georgia Tech, he didn't know how to run routes, but the one thing he had was speed, and he can catch the football. So now he gets to Detroit, and he understands how to run routes. Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. Yeah, no doubt about it. Are there any other guys you look late day two? And don't you mention Matthew Golden, man.
I already did. That's my dude, man.
I understand it, but look, it's gone.
I let it go. He's gone, but I know I said this last week, but, you know, he might not be flashy. He might not be the guy, but the guy I really like is from TCU is Jack Beck. I just like what he does. I mean, I like how he sets guys up. And the funny thing about it is he may not run the 4-2 or the 4-3, but he creates separation. And when you get into the league, you're going to have to create separation because the guys are smarter. They're bigger. They're physical. So you have to create separation. And Jack Beck, every time I look up, he's running by somebody. He's not one of your speed burners. He just understands how to set guys up. He understands how to lie with his eyes. He understands how to get off the press to create that separation. That's one of the guys that I really, really like.
Very interesting. Yeah, he is. I mean, that dude's consistent. I think it was at the Senior Bowl, he was voted top receiver for that team that he was on, the North team, I want to say. I'm pretty sure that was the case. But, I mean, look, I'm not mad at you there because you want consistent playmakers that always come up with the ball when they need to. Let me ask you this, though. So if you're the Titans, right, you draft Cam Ward at one, which is the direction everything seems to go, do you think does that increase the importance of getting an Xavier Restrepo at some point in this draft?
Yeah, who's Xavier? Who's that guy?
Okay, again? So that's number 7 on Miami. The slot guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, because I really haven't studied him.
Okay,
but his name keeps coming up. You know. So and the funny thing about it, I can't believe I overlooked him. So I'm gonna go back and look at him, and basically if he's there, I mean, the Titans need some guys at wide receiver. I mean, you definitely have to figure out, because if you look at the roster of the Tennessee Titans, I'm going to name some names, and I want you to say yes or no on which guy scare you. Does Calvin really scare you?
To a degree, yes.
Okay. Burks?
No.
Jefferson?
No.
Oliver Bryce?
Yeah, Bryce Oliver's no, but I think he's an NWI type in the making.
And Mason Kinsey.
No, I love white chocolate. I love his game, but no.
So you have to get somebody that scares the defensive coordinator. I mean, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to figure out a way to complement Ridley to make sure that you have somebody that scares. Because if you look at some of the great teams in the NFL, like the Philadelphia Eagles, you got to have a Batman and you got to have a Robin. If you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, you got Brown, you got Dante Smith. I mean, if you look at the Tennessee Titans, you got Ridley and who else?
Yeah, no, and that's why it's important to get some players.
That's why it's so important. And I'm so mad that I'm overlooked as Xavier, but his name keeps coming up. So I got to figure out and really study him some more because, you know, I hate to say it, I really haven't studied him.
Yeah, definitely watch him. So he, to me, just to kind of give you a snapshot, like he reminds me a lot of Adam Humphries, right, where he's not super – he's not big, he's not super fast, he's just tough. He always knows where to find the window. He's always – catching the football, and he's someone that's going to be your quarterback's best friend. That's what he reminds me of, is Adam Humphries. Real quick before we get out of here.
Sure.
So I look at Steve Smith, obviously future Hall of Fame receiver. Looking at his he has a top 10 receiver ranking, and Matthew Golden is at the top of it. Very interesting. But
oh, my God.
At number one, he has Golden. Number two, Tet McMillan. Number three, Emeka Ibuka. Number four, Luther Burden III. Number five, Jalen Royals out of Utah State, who's a playmaker.
Wow.
He's fun to watch.
Okay.
Number six, Trey Harris out of Ole Miss. Your guy, Jack Betch, however you pronounce it, TCU at seven.
Yep.
Jaden Higgins at eight. Isaiah Bond at nine. Elik Ayomanor out of Stanford. Now, Higgins, we're going to – look, I want you – this is for next week. I want you to watch Iowa State, Jaden Higgins. Right, I want you to watch what he does at the combine, and then watch him because I want to discuss this because this is a good case study. I want to discuss this.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, look, man, we're gonna go ahead and get up out of here. We're gonna roll to this break. We got Eugene Asante, Auburn linebacker, coming up, and
y'all looking like too.
Yeah. Right. Just like you look like. I almost said Mutombo, but I'm not going to compare. Just like you look like George Lynch, North Carolina's finest.
You look like Tom Jackson.
And you look like Otis Nixon. We can keep going
now. You look like Otis Redding.
Yeah? Well, that's all right, CEO. We're out on that note.
Peace out.
Oh, this is Roger McQuarrie, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. We want to keep this thing rolling, man. Nod factor, that mad skills, man. Here's a guy that has that nod factor, too. If you watched him at the combine, you definitely nodded your head yes, because he was one of the standouts. That's Auburn inside linebacker Eugene Asante. Eugene, what's going on, man?
What up, man? How you guys doing?
I'm doing great, man. And as I mentioned, you know, one of the combine standouts. So I want to start with that, right, the 4.48. The 21 reps, the 1.52 10-yard split. I mean, these were all best among all linebackers. And I remember watching, you know, because I watched with your guy, with Bobby McCray of McCray Sports. And I remember watching, and you ran that time, and we just looked at each other and just smiled, man. What was it that, you know, went into being able to stand out the way you did there?
Yeah, yes, sir. First and foremost, there's a lot of preparation that goes into being able to execute on the big stage, you know, it takes 8 weeks of training. I did at Exos.
Yeah.
And them really teaching me the fundamentals of understanding how to run the 40, everything into it, being able to maximize my speed and being able to just understand the 40 to a science. So 8-week program where I'm just learning the technicalities of running the 40 and then just, you know, being able to take what God has given me and then enhancing it. So being able to explode out the start, maintain my speed, and then hit my top end speed towards the 20 to 40 range. So, you know, I thank Exos for just preparing me and getting me ready to run that 40. But then, you know, just, you know, me going out there, getting prepared, getting warmed up, it was just based on me just wanting to go out there and put my best performance together and, you know, being able to not, you know, perform under the circumstances. The combine is certainly a nerve-wracking process. It's like you look up, the lights are bright, man. You know your family's watching you at home, so you just want to do well. And you got to balance all those different emotions and be able to perform under pressure. And I think, you know, I was shooting for a low 4.4, but the 4.48 was good. So just being able to go out there and run and show teams what I can do.
No doubt about it. Like I have a saying, right? You grind to shine. And you put the time in grinding and you got to shine. I'm glad you mentioned Exos because that was a very good choice that Bobby and Demarius and the crew that they, you know, made for you or with you, rather. Let's put it that way. I also noticed just a calmness, you know, about you. Like you play with this rage, but there's a calmness also. What is it that you do just to kind of maintain that calmness, but then when the ball is snapped or when the whistle's blown, it's a whole different ballgame?
Yeah, I think that's the piece of my game that I've really honed in on, being able to play with controlled aggression. So, you know, understanding within the snap, you got to be violent. You got to set the tone. You got to be somebody that brings energy and is a force on the football field. So as soon as the ball snaps, that's what happens, and that's that transformation. But pre-snap, being able to hone in, look at your keys, look at your tendencies, take a deep breath, stay relaxed, stay within the moment, and just being able to, you know, identify everything that's going on. And that's that calmness piece. That's that, you know, I do a lot of guided meditation and just breathing exercises and just understanding that I did it before I went out there and ran the 40, you know, because, you know, I understood, you know, talking to different guys that have went through the process. They're like, Eugene, man, this is the most nervous you'll ever be in your life because, you know, you're accustomed to playing the game of football. You've been playing this since you were a 7-year-old child. But when you're out there running that 40, it's a different ball game. You know, you're not doing something you're accustomed to doing. So just being able to stay relaxed in the moment, understand that God has placed me in this moment for a reason. And then, you know, being able to execute and make the people, make my people proud, make my mom proud. I know she was watching at home and, you know, just going out there and you know, setting a standard for myself.
And we're talking to Auburn inside backer Eugene Asante. Eugene, I love that you mentioned that because that is very true. Like, you always played football, but you haven't always had to get on the track, so to speak, and run the 40. That's a great point. I want to get into a little bit just the weight aspect. You checked in at 223. You still ran fast. Is that kind of the weight that you want to kind of carry when you get to the league?
Yeah, so for me, I think a comfortable weight is anywhere between that 222 range to that 228 range for me. I'm comfortable at that weight. I've played at that weight. So just being able to hold that weight and maintain the speed has always been something that's important to me. You know, I felt comfortable at 223 at the combine, being able to explode out the blocks and run a good time. So I feel comfortable anywhere between that 222 range to the 28 range.
Yeah, and look, here's the thing, right? You don't have to be, these days, you don't have to be 240, 250 to play linebacker. Like, you could play it the way you play it and at the weight that you do. And I want to just kind of branch off from that because if you look at your year, 23-24 to this past year, it's different, right? Like, you played in two different schemes, but you showed the versatility. Can you kind of help the listeners understand, like, what it is that was different about that year and this past year and how that allowed you to showcase both sides of your game?
Yes, sir. So, you know, coming in 2023, I was competing for a job under Ron Roberts and Hugh Freeze, Hugh Freeze's first season at Auburn. So I was competing for a job and I ended up getting the starting job in week two against Cal. From there, you know, my career kind of took into its place. And the way I was utilizing those two schemes was within the first year under Ron Roberts, it was more so I was kind of deployed as a pass rushing and off the ball backer. So with our front four, it was hard for us to try to generate a lot of pass rush. And we had to do a lot of different things where we had simulated pressures and we did different twist games with the D-line to try to cause havoc and get to the quarterback. And I was kind of deployed as sometimes as that fourth rusher, as the fifth rusher, to try to get the quarterback. So a lot of my tape 2023-2024 was me trying to go get the quarterback and work in different array of moves. And, you know, I felt like I did a good job in that role, in that scheme, when I was deployed, to just try to, you know, cause havoc on quarterbacks and cause a lot of disruption. And then within this past year, 2024, this past season, under DJ Durkin, I was kind of deployed in a little bit more in coverage, space and coverage, kind of in a nickel role at times. So being able to run with slots, do different things where I'm in space, on the perimeter, destroying quick game throws and perimeter passes. So I have I show a lot of different versatility within my game. I feel comfortable covering in space. I feel like I can run with the best of them. And then on top of that, I have shown what I can do as a pass rushing off the ball linebacker and just being sturdy within the run game. So that's what I believe I bring to a team. And those are the different things I've shown within these past 2 years.
And here's the thing, Eugene, you not only showed that the past 2 years, you showed it at the Senior Bowl. And that's one of the things that stood out to me, because I remember, and I actually told you after that practice, I was like, man, you did a good job. You probably don't even remember, but I said, man, you were really doing a good job working with those running backs and those one-on-ones. You know, there were a couple times where it's going to happen, right? You get got, but you also were able to get them as well. So that's something I wanted to point out. I don't know if anybody has ever told you, but when I watch your game, it reminds me of David Long Jr. Now, I don't know if you've watched the former West Virginia Big 12 player of the year. Then the Titans drafted him. He had good years with the Titans. He had a good year with the Dolphins. Have you seen David Long Jr. play before?
Yes, sir. Is he currently with the Rams?
No. And that happens a lot. So that's the cornerback. There's two David Long Juniors. Okay. This one I'm talking about is the linebacker. And the crazy thing is, you guys play so much alike in that you play, just to use the saying, right, with like your pants are on fire, right? But more importantly, just to hone in, you guys are always around the football, and then I always liken it, the way that you get to the back or get to the quarterback is it's like a car in traffic and just kind of weaving around the other cars in traffic and getting where it has to go. That's what you do. And that you don't always take on the lineman. You'll just find your way to get around him one way or the other. And I think that's something that really stands out.
Yeah, 100%. You know, you got to understand on the football field how to defeat your opponent and what ways most effective to defeat your opponent to get to the ball carry. So I understand sometimes I have to dip underneath a lineman and get to the ball carrier, or if I have to take him on and be aggressive and shock and shed, that's another thing I feel comfortable doing. You know, I wasn't really familiar with David Long, but I'm going to make sure after we're done with the interview, I'm going to turn on that tape and break down his game and understand it. You know, I love watching backers and understanding what they bring to the field. So I'm going to definitely turn on that tape.
No doubt. And it's funny, I just looked up his measurables, you know, for those who like to look at that. So he's 5'11", 225. You're 6 feet, 6 and a half, 6 feet, 1 half, whatever, however you want to put it, and 223. So even the measurables are comparable. Coming up, were there any particular players that you watched?
Yeah, 100%. I grew up, I always loved watching Devin White when he was at LSU. I loved watching Devin White when he was at LSU, and I loved watching him when he was his early years with the Bucks with Levante David.
Yeah.
Just the way he flew around the football field, just being able to go sideline to sideline, you know, fly to the running back, and just cause violent collisions on the football field. And then all the different things he did in the pass rush game, you know, he was a dynamic pass rusher. And, you know, quite frankly, I didn't think any running back could block him one-on-one in one-on-one situations. And, you know, I just loved all the different things. I loved him when he was at LSU. I loved him when he was with the Bucs. I love Levante David and what he brings to a team, just being able to command the defense and being a general. And oftentimes he's overshadowed and all the different things he's done in his career. Is like, it's like a guy to be in it 12, 13 years and be just consistent and still, you know, being able to be the leader of the defense, and it's to be admired, you know. So right now I watch those guys. I like Fred Warner and what he does in terms of how ball hungry Fred Warner is, and just being able to get, you know, always being conscious and thinking on the football field about the football. Like, I'm going to go get the football out. I'm going to punch the ball out. And he does it so consistently. Like, so, you know, those are things and pieces of games that I really truly command. And then I want to take to the football field and bring to teams. So I'm always constantly thinking of it so I can go out there and execute.
Absolutely. And we're talking Eugene Asante, Auburn inside backer. Eugene, you mentioned always being around the football. And I think, you know, obviously as a backer, that's critical. So a two-part question. A, what is it that you – like, how do you approach – like, how do you manage to find the football so well? And then B, the energy that you play with, like, where do you draw that from?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think first and foremost what causes me to fly to the football is, you know, just all the times I was denied within the game of football, man. I was a six-year college football guy. I played 6 years, and my road to this journey, to this point of my journey, has been ups and downs. You know, I came to Auburn. I transferred into Auburn after leaving North Carolina. I just wanted to, you know, go out there and put the best stuff on tape and earn a starting job in that first season. And, you know, my dad had passed away, so it was a tough thing losing my father, who I considered as my best friend. And then just kind of going through spring ball, trying to, you know, put the best foot forward and just battling all these different emotions while I'm on the football field. Like, I'm out there crying, like, on the field, you know, and I'm just like, man, I got to go make a play, you know. And, you know, I was doing some good things in that first year under Coach Harson and his staff, and I couldn't find myself on the football field. I couldn't find myself on the field. I was primarily special teams, all four special teams. And I went to Coach Harson at the time, and I told him, hey, Coach, like, you know, I've been through a lot with losing my pops, man. Like, you know, I don't want to quit on the team. Can I be on a scout team and just give you guys the best look possible? And he granted me that ability to do so. So, I took those scout team practices on Tuesday, the physical days on Tuesday, like they were games every Tuesday. You know, they're putting me in their best linebackers number. You know, and I'm going out there going against Tank Bigsby, who played for the Jaguars, Jarquez Hunter, who's an NFL draft prospect this year. And, like, you know, I took those practices so serious. And I was like, man, I'm going to hone in on my skills this year. And no coach will ever be able to deny me ever again. No coach will ever be able to deny me on the football field based on my effort, based on my intensity, based on how I play the game. And Coach Harson was then let go, and I got an opportunity under Coach Free. So I brought all those principles of being on scout team, all those principles and all that frustration and anger on scout team that past year, and I brought it onto the football field in 2023. And that's why I really feel like I was able to blossom in that first season. So I believe that was your first question. I'm sorry, I lost track of the second.
No, you mixed them both in right there because you talked about the passion and you talked about why you fly to the football. Look, Eugene, I get it. Like after hearing that, I get it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's I'm smiling because I really like that answer, man. That was a great way to answer. You mentioned when you were at North Carolina, so I'm assuming, yeah, you would have crossed paths with Cedric Gray, right?
Yeah, that's my guy. Cedric Gray, my guy. He was there, I believe. I was there with Cedric 2 years, 2020 and 2021. That's my guy.
Yeah, Cedric's good people, man. He should have a role this year, so that's going to be cool watching that. And you also, your brother, Larry, I remember vaguely watching him play, but he, you know, was a DB for a few different teams. Have you talked to him, like, about, like, just going through this process?
Yeah, 100%. So my brother is somebody I lean on as a cornerstone in terms of this process and in terms of understanding, you know, how to be a professional. At a young age, I developed that, I feel like, a lot more than a lot of other people because my brother was in the National Football League when I was in my developmental stages, you know, from 10 years old to about 16 years old. So, you know, I would go to these training facilities where my brother would be working out at, and he'll be working out in an NFL group, and he'd be like, Gene, you're not going to just sit on the side. You're working out with us, you know. And the NFL guys loved me working out with them because I would always mess up the ladder. I would always mess up the drill. And then they like, my brother like, nah, do that again, do it again. So I'm going back to do it again. They're able to catch their breath and you know, just be able to recover for a little bit. But at a young age, I developed that, you know, had my brother in my corner just to teach me how to be a pro. And then now throughout this process, man, he's so intricate in giving me that information and preparing me and telling me, you know, all the ins and outs of, you know, the National Football League and understanding what the NFL is and how to be a pro. And, you know, just leaning on him is certainly the guy that I go to in terms of information and trying to be the best me possible.
That's really dope. Well, Eugene, man, I want to keep this thing going, but time won't permit it. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. I had Roger McCreary on the intro, you know, a fellow Auburn product. I know you guys didn't cross paths, but I, you know, wanted to make sure we represented Auburn, man. I appreciate you coming on. I definitely have to, you know, make sure we continue to follow, and we'll see you in the league, man.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate y'all having me.
No doubt.
This is Traylon Burks, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. I want to let that roll a little bit, but, you know, we do have a special guest coming in. And there's a reason why I played this music, because our next guest, Dante Thornton, he was from Tennessee via Oregon, but this is a young man out of Baltimore. And, Dante, I tell you this, if your folks are from Baltimore, your moms and your pops, back in the day before you were born, that was a song that they used to jam to. That made it up to Philly with me. And we used to jam to that in the clubs too, man. So I had to, you know what I mean, go back before your time a little bit.
I feel it.
So, yeah, man. But, yeah, I appreciate you coming on. And I guess, you know, I want to start right from here, because I really love the way there's a lot of people who are suddenly coming around to Dante Thornton. They're like, hey, I mean, he ran the 4-3. Let's go back and watch him. And now they're seeing some of these games, whether it's the Oklahoma game, whether it's the Vanderbilt game. You know, we have different ones that we could go to, but they're seeing that you got speed and that it shows on film. So I want to start with that. The way that your speed shows on film, because there are other prospects that ran good times and had explosive measurements and things like that, but you go back and you watch the film, you're like, hey, that doesn't show up. But for you, it does. Why is that?
I just say with the offense that I played in, it gave me the ability to use that speed and our option game concepts, which allowed me to get to my top speed very fast while running those routes. And like you said, in the tape, you can see that in a lot of those go balls or posts or even on the slants and post routes. So it's the after the catch aspect of it, just being able to gain speed as I start running and not just – I'm quick off the line, but I'm a guy that gains a lot more speed as I keep running. So if you look at the film, that goes to show.
And that's the thing, because if you go back and you watch your 40 time, like, you hit top speed pretty fast. At 6'5",
like,
yeah, it's 10 yards, exactly. At 6'5", that's rare. Is that something that you worked on, like quickening that turnover?
Oh, yeah, I definitely worked on that, because I felt like going into training, like, the worst part of my 40 was my start, and I knew the best part of my 40 was my back end. So, I had to at least get my first 10 yards or first 5 steps, however you want to say it, down in a quicker time so that it would work out for me. And it's crazy. The even crazier part about it is, up until the day that I ran at the combine, the best time that I ran for the 40 was a 4.4 flat.
Wow. Wow. So I guess the saying, you get fresher under pressure, applies to you, huh?
Definitely.
I love that. 25 yards per catch, that's what you averaged this past year. The opportunities didn't come as much, but you made the most of them. How did you go about balancing? Because a lot of times, you know, when you don't get a lot of targets, sometimes it can lead to catching the ball or trying to catch it and turn and run or drops or anything like that. How did you manage to keep that focus and keep that patience to maximize your opportunities?
I say through my first 3 years of college, I dealt with the opposite side of where, though, I was frustrated about not having all the targets and stuff like that, and that led to those drops, like you said. So going into my last season, I had to, like, shift my mindset and just only focus on the stuff that I can control, and then just really setting – focus on whenever an opportunity came my way, taking advantage of every single time.
And we're
I was more so just working. I was more so just working on whenever I got a catch, making a play on it, and it happened to consistently happen over and over again. Even though it might have been like 3 or 4 catches a game, 2 or 3 catches a game, but I know for sure when I got those 2 or 3 catches, I was gonna make something happen with them.
Bro, you were doing like 3 catches for 100 yards. You know, that's maximizing it for sure. And we're talking to Dante Thornton, Tennessee wide receiver, future NFL player. Dante, I want to talk about some of the routes, right? Because
yep.
We look, we see you stacking the corners. on the go routes. We see you after you do that, they bail out, and then you run the in-breaking routes and you catch the ball. What would you say is the most dangerous route for you as a receiver?
For a defender to cover me on?
Exactly.
I say, for sure, a go ball, because if I get past you, I'm going to run past you. But anything, when I got to cross the field, because if I can cross the face and there's nobody else to stop me, I'm going to run keep running. So I definitely say, post routes, slant routes, any crossing type route where, though, I could use my speed to get across the field away from you or take an angle to get away. That's definitely, I say, that's the way it get dangerous.
And we look at the way defenders play. A lot of times they play off. That gives you the free release, and you make that in cut, and you catch the ball. And it's almost like you run through the catch, right? And that allows you to accelerate away. How did you develop the confidence in your hands to be able to excel? Because a lot of receivers, you know what they do, right? They slow down at the catch point rather than run through it, but you run through it. How did you get that confidence?
I say that's just something that I had to constantly work on, on my own, with getting catches and doing the jug machine, working with Nico, and just constantly repping at it. Because our coaches made a strong emphasis on making sure that we run through the catch every time and not slowing down for the ball or anything like that. So that was something that I always would try to focus on. And then in games, I know that's my only opportunity, so I'm going out there 100 miles per hour, so I ain't really thinking about slowing down.
Yeah, you can't. You got to maximize. Who would you say is the toughest corner that you faced, whether it be at Oregon or, at Tennessee?
I would say the dudes that was on my team, Ricky Gibson, Jamal McCoy, when I was at Tennessee, and then at Oregon, Markel Wright and DJ James, Christian Gonzalez, a bunch of guys that I actually played with that were great corners, but I had to go to one of my opponents. I'd say Clark Phillips when I was at Oregon. He played at Utah. He was a good cornerback. I say Jalen Mbakwe from Alabama, the freshman. He was good. And then I think his name, John Marshall from Florida.
Hmm. So when you're going against one of those corners that you know is someone that is, tough, how do you approach that? What's the mindset working into that day?
I be trying to figure out, what's their weakness, or find out, what in my game I could use that's going to be able for me to take advantage of them. So, a lot – with those guys that I say were, good defenders to me, they were either physical, fast, or smart. So I had to find some way to outdo that. And then that may be at the line with killing them with the release, or just trying to create space so I can run by them, or being physical with them and things like that. So just trying to figure out what they do good and try to figure out a way to get around that.
Dante, we don't usually talk about the release package when we're discussing a 6'5 guy, right? But that is something that you do well. It's a good part of your repertoire. Who are some of the guys that you've watched? I mean, I'm sure you're going to say Devontae Adams, right? Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, but really, Justin Jefferson. I watch in terms of the release game, I definitely watch Devontae Adams and Stephon Diggs, but I really like to watch Justin Jefferson because he's a tempo guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be quick and twitchy at the line, but then he becomes a strider but still gaining a lot of ground that sells like he's running full speed and going vertical. That way he can be under control and breaking out of his routes. So I try to add some of that into my game.
Have you ever watched, because you talk about tempo, and anytime someone mentions tempo, Keenan Allen is a guy that comes to mind for me. Have you watched him as well?
Yeah, I definitely watch a lot of Keenan Allen.
I love that.
Now, and then for me personally, growing up, I was a big Calvin Johnson and Julio Jones fan.
Naturally, And it's funny because Calvin Johnson is a guy and DK Metcalf, those were names that were mentioned, when we talk about a guy that's 6'5", running a 4.3". So it's pretty crazy that's someone that you had watched. How about DK Metcalf? Is he a guy, do you see any of yourself in that game? Because, he's someone, again, that is mentioned, with these measurables.
Yeah, and I say this similar to how I think about Calvin Johnson, but I say just with the size and speed. Yeah. I know he's a lot bigger in size than me in terms of how he looked. But I say, our frames are somewhat the same along with our speed, and I feel like we both had that ability to beat all those guys and those deep threats and stuff like that. And also having the big catch radius to be able to go across the middle of the field and make big plays and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Now, you're working now. You just did Pro Day. The Combine we talked about. Shrine, I want to get into Shrine. What was that experience like? Because that was the first time I got to see you in person. I had watched you, but to see you in person and like feel the presence, what was that experience like for you?
It was a great experience for me because like I got the main thing that I loved about the experience was I got to see a lot of guys that I may have played against or like met through the recruiting process going to college that were there playing on the same team as me and things like that. And then just being able to go against some of the top defensive players in the country, that was also a great thing for me.
How about the meetings, you know, getting to talk with the media, but also more importantly with the teams? How did that kind of prep you for what you faced at the combine?
I say it definitely prepared me a lot because, like, all those informal cluster interviews that we were doing, it was helping me, like, prep the type of question that I would get at the combine. So when I got to the combine, I already had a sense of what I was going to say. And I feel like if you trying to think on the fly and say something, you might say something that you don't really want to say. So having the opportunity to go to the Shrine Bowl and have those interviews, it was like more prep for me to be able to go into those meetings and be confident in what I wanted to say to them and get my point across right away.
Yeah, it's authentic, right, when you do it that way. Routes. I want to get back to routes because that's an area, obviously, you know, at Tennessee, you ran certain routes, but maybe not the full tree. I would imagine you're capable of running the full route tree. So let's get into that as far as, like, who you're working with, what you're doing in order to get yourself ready to run that full route tree that's going to be required at the next level.
I start with saying that throughout my whole life, I've been running the full route tree. It just happened to be that my last two seasons of my college career that I was in the Tennessee offense, and it got me away from running that full route tree. And I say I feel like at the combine and at pro day, I displayed my ability to sink my hips and get in and out of cuts from different route breakers and things like that. But I say back home, I trained with my wide receiver trainer, Coach Mark Lester, and I've been training with him since I was 12 years old, and I feel like he's prepared me to be able to run all those routes crisply and to get in and out of my cuts and been able to do all that type of stuff. And I also train with Delfonte Diamonds out in Texas.
Okay.
I have a great group of receiver trainers that I train with to help and develop me into the receiver that I am.
Hey, you ever get Bryce? You ever get Traggs out there on the field to run some routes with you?
Nah, not yet, but I will. I'm gonna say something to him. I'm for sure gonna say something.
Hey, yeah, you know you gotta say something to him. You know another reason why? Because his 40 was 4.39. I mean, yours was 4.3. So you know.
I ain't even, okay, he yeah, gave me that.
Yeah, yeah. Don't tell Bryce I told you that. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's besides the point. You mentioned at the combine how you wanted to make sure that you got better every single day. Like that to me is like that's a Kobe thing. That's where I saw that. Where did you get that idea? And how is it that you go about identifying, okay, I'm gonna get better at this today, that tomorrow, so on and so forth?
That was a thing that we developed in our receiver room at Tennessee, like Coach Pope, and then just us as receivers as a whole. We had to figure out. We always had the mindset of that the thing that get the offense going is the receiver room. Like we could have a good run game and all that, but the receiver room is what makes those big plays on offense. So we got to all be able to be firing off rip, not having to start off slow, anything like that. So in order to constantly develop and not settle, we had to figure out something that we could do as a group that we could hold each other accountable of, and that was everybody like the night before practice or the morning of practice, we all sent a text and saying like, what's that one or two things that we're going to work on the whole day? And then you find one other person to hold you accountable of that. And we just made that a consistent habit for us every single day.
I love
that. That's just something that I'm going to continue to carry on with me.
Yeah, I love that right there, finding accountability, because then you have someone else that you got to make sure that you deliver to. As far as the teams that you met with, are the Titans one of the teams, or how have you been in contact with them?
Oh, yeah, I actually just talked to the Titans yesterday.
Oh, really? Really? Was it their receiver coach? Or?
Yeah, their receiver coach.
Hey, you know, he coached a lot of really good receivers, so I'm glad as you got to speak with him. The conversation, how did that go? Was there certain things he said he liked? Or?
Oh, yeah, it was a great conversation. And similar to, like, a lot of people say, like, he liked my size and speed and my ability to just run a lot of different things. And it was, like, more specifically talking about how I was at my speed, being able to, like, break away on those short breaker routes like a slant or an end route, yeah, and be able to get out the back door and take it for 50, 60 instead of having a 8 to 10-yard gain off a catch and stuff like that.
I love it.
But it definitely was a great conversation.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, Tyke's a real one. Before we get you out of here, Dante, when you get to the league, you know, whatever team should call your name, Well, what are they getting? Like, what's the plus of drafting Dante Thornton?
I'll say number one thing with me, you're gonna be getting a great person. Like, I'm a very humble and dependable person that no matter what it is, you're gonna be always be able to count on me. That's on and off the field, and you're gonna get with me a great person that's really a team guy. I'm gonna put the team first no matter what it is, and do whatever I have to do to make sure that the team is successful. And if that's me playing special teams, I'm going to do it. If that's me having my role as a receiver, I'm going to do that. Or whatever it is that the team requires of me to do to help us be the best, I'm going to continue to do that at a high level. And I'm going to always work at that to make sure that I'm the best so that I can help the team be the best.
Couldn't have said it better. Dante, I appreciate it, man. It's honestly a pleasure to speak to you, man. I've been definitely watching a lot of you and speaking about you a lot. So I'm glad you came on and could kind of tell your story yourself rather than me doing it, man. Thanks again.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I appreciate you.
All right, for sure. So that was Dante Thornton, Tennessee wide receiver. Man, I will say this. Both of those guests were fire. And this is the goal. This is what we want to do each and every week. We want to bring it. We're going to have no stone unturned, you know, whether it's a offensive lineman from Alabama A&M or a wide receiver from Tennessee. We're going to look at all this. I want to bring you guys into and under the helmet with as many prospects as possible in a good range. So we appreciate those guys coming on. Chris Sanders, we know he has his homework assignment, so we're going to get his work next week. So definitely make sure you stay tuned. This is draft season, man. This is when it really comes to life, and it has to be like this all year round, as a matter of fact. But, yeah, I mean, there's a different excitement with the draft, and we got that coming up. So definitely continue to rock with us. You can check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get to find listening materials. Search Talking With TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.